Pippard. I see it first. A boy, Evan Comerford. But he got the rebound. The magician intent for Fossa. And it's a goal for Kerry.
Dillon will put it over from the left, but that's going to fall on the edge of square. Danger!
Goal!
It's a goal!
That's
it's
a goal!
A goal! It was when it fell short, and it looks like Sean O'Brien. And a very fortuitous score by Kerry.
Wondered then, coasted into the full forward line at Barrett.
Into the canal. It's all over, Ambrose. Kerry are in the All Ireland football final once again. Will we get title 40? That's for another day. Yeah. Today, Dublin gave us a serious test.
Yeah, a very good evening. You're welcome to the latest edition of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I'd imagine we'd talk till midnight tonight, but we're here till 8 to make way for other evening programming as well. You're all very welcome along. Hope you are keeping well. Beautiful weather continuing and beautiful yesterday, of course, in Croke Park. We've all got a small bit of a red complexion, I think, after yesterday in GAA headquarters. Kingdom into another All-Ireland final. The quest for number 40 continues for another 2 weeks as Kerry defeat Dublin 218 to 20 points in GAA headquarters. We'll be with Liam, John and Andrew very, very shortly to run down everything from yesterday's game. And of course, we'll be here next week to preview an All-Ireland final. It's great. I'm 2 for 2 on Terrace Talk since I took over this seat for All-Ireland final. So I'll keep me busy into the middle of the summer. We'll also be looking ahead to the Kerry Ladies All-Ireland semi-final, of course, next weekend against Dublin as well. And of course, a big weekend for hurling, the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship quarterfinals done and dusted, semi-finals to come, and of course, All-Ireland Hurling Final next Sunday. We'll be chatting all things small ball as well a little later on, as well as breaking away to the Killarney races. Tim Moynihan on duty at the Killarney race course. I'm surprised he even has a voice left because I'm a small bit croaky myself and I was only in the stands. We'll be crossing to Tim a little later on in the programme as well if you're keeping up to date with all the racing. The comments have been flooding in all day. The email has been fairly busy, so do get your comments in nice and early. We'll try to get around to as many as we can this evening, but there is going to be a good few given how many we have in already. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. You can call 066 712 3666. Neil taking your calls this evening, or as I said, if you're a small bit further afield or want to get a longer form comment in, you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. But as we said, Kerry victorious yesterday, 218 to 20 point win over Dublin in Croke Park, as I said, to book their All-Ireland final appearance once again for the Kingdom. Delighted to be joined by former Kerry footballers, of course, Liam Broston, who's fresh home from his trip abroad, John Kennedy as well, and our analyst, who we must give out to a little later on, Andrew Moynihan. Lads, you're very, very welcome. Delighted to have you here on bringing you out of the good weather, but for good reason. Liam Broston, a win is a win is a win. Kerry back into an All-Ireland final. A great time, a great day here in Kerry as well, with everyone, game on everyone's lips, I suppose, isn't it?
Without a doubt, Ivan. Look, as there's a saying out there, semi-finals are all about getting over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we did produce the answers when we were asked yesterday. And there's great credit due to the Kerry team, the Kerry management. I know, look, we have a pile of talking points and, you know, and as we've said, there's a lot of emails and messages in as well. But look, it's about time we got that little bit of lady luck on our side, because we think back the years in 2011, 2016, 2019, we just didn't, you know, things went against us and we took it on the chin and we got on. And I thought that little bit of luck swung our way yesterday. And look, we're heading for an All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time, and let the fun begin, as they say.
Yeah, texts already coming in for tickets and everything else. John Kennedy, I'd imagine, who was on his second radio appearance of the day, would you believe it? John was with Deirdre Walsh as well from Asti. They could only have to have John Kennedy Kilkenny if you're in SD. John, a really, really enjoyable day out yesterday. So look, we get to all the talking points and everything else, but just in general, 82,000 people packed into Croke Park. Kerry against Dublin, it was almost like the old days, if you want to even call it that, between Kerry and Dublin, but a real, real good atmosphere. The weather lended to it as well, but a fantastic day out yesterday, obviously coupled with a Kerry victory, but in general, a fantastic day out, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic day. Great occasion, Ivan, great to be there. The colour, the noise, the hill in full flow, you know, and stops that type of a game for at times, but you'd have to say the weather, I think, was conducive to that, that you couldn't, you know, the bodies couldn't take that for 70 odd minutes. You know, it was incredible pace, the intensity, the marking. We'll talk about the tactical game it was, you know, the man marking job that both management teams did on key players. But, you know, we've said it here, Liam and myself, many times, you know, we have leaders throughout the team. And the beauty about this Kerry team is when two or three fellas are a little bit below form, we've lads to come in. Paddy Clifford gave his best display of the season. We'll talk about it after, should Dublin have squeezed up on him, but Paddy was impeccable. He was brilliant. He had two or three diagonal passes in particular that were just top drawer stuff. You know, Jason Foley at fullback, people are sick of me talking about this man, but what an exhibition again. Conor Callan, you'd ask yourself, was he still on the field at times yesterday? Jason was brilliant. Or half back line, and then above, like David, we were talking last night coming down, David was quiet, but he still kicked 1-5. So if he kicks 1-5 when he's quiet, you know, and you have to give credit to Davy Bunn. What a man marking job he did on him. All within, there was nothing sinister about it. Close, continuous marking, and a lot of block downs and stuff, but a real, real battle. And you could hear Jack O'Connor after, look, getting to the finals, what it's all about. But it lived up to the Kerry Dublin games in the past. This was another one that's really up there.
Yeah. Right, Andrew, first talking point was the penalty. Came sorry in the game as well for Kerry. I suppose first three or four part question, really. First of all, I suppose a lot of people were talking, was it a penalty to foul, of course, and Joe Connor, was it deemable a penalty? Then obviously with David Clifford stepping up, might want to watch a few more World Cup games. Unfortunately missed the first one, but the rebound fell kindly and buried it home. And then with the first of many celebrations of the day for David Clifford. So when you look back at it, a lot of talking points within 60 seconds there.
Yeah, completely. And look, in my opinion, it was a penalty. It's a frontal charge by Pádraig O'Coughlin-Byrne. His feet weren't fully planted. It's one of those two that, as a Kerry supporter, if it wasn't given, you'd be unhappy. And still, when it is given, Dublin supporters aren't going to be happy. So, but by the letter of the law, by the rules, that is a penalty, what Pádraig O'Coughlin-Byrne did. Now, Joe O'Connor did hold his head on the ground where there was no head clash involved, but still, Brendan Cawley saw it for his own two eyes. He took a second or two to deliberate by himself and then called for a penalty. There weren't too many frustrations by Dublin. Maybe Pádraig O'Coughlin-Byrne, and I'm not sure he got a yellow for that, but he got a yellow maybe for just remonstrating with Cawley. But I think definite penalty.
Yeah, definite penalty. I think I presume you'll agree with that, Liam Broston, as well. Just I suppose that David being alert enough to having missed the penalty to kind of grab, we often see even in soccer terms where a rebound kind of comes out and there's almost panic, but no panic in David, just caught the ball and slotted it home. It was a beautiful finish in the end from a disappointing penalty, I suppose.
It was the penalty, yeah, the penalty was disappointing, all right, but no, I suppose the Dublin goalkeeper, Evan Comerford, won't be happy with the way he kind of palmed the ball out to the, you know, you'd think a goalkeeper should be kind of palming it to the side away from the on-running players. But there was no way he was going to miss that anyway. The net, everything was going to fly up in the hill at that stage. But I would agree with Andrew. It was penalty all day for me, because the man in possession of the ball is in control. The defender came at him. He met him kind of square in the chest. No, and I know Darren about maybe holding his head, but when you're going at pace and you're stopped suddenly like that, you could get a bit of a whiplash or whatever. So you could see why, I know Dublin were making sure that why was he holding his head.
Yeah.
But like Joe was going fairly lively, and there was a good clash there, but penalty all day for me, so that's one of the things that
we can cross that off the list now.
Yeah,
absolutely. John, for the remainder of that kind of first half, then obviously the goal came so early. The big talking point around us in the stand was why kind of Kerry weren't taking on two pointers, but we've known, you know, we saw it on Saturday and we saw it kind of the last couple of weeks. The hill is often, you know, can give a different sort of weather conditions to the rest of the ground, and obviously the wind kind of favouring into the Davin at times, I suppose it was more of a swirling breeze, but you know, Kerry probably not be able to take those two pointers. Dublin probably aiming to be further ahead at half time, which didn't happen for them when they elected to go with the wind. So I suppose it kind of led to a small bit of frustration around us, but amongst all sorts of supporters, saying why can't Kerry kind of, you know, take on those 2 point chances, but it just physically wasn't possible.
It physically wasn't possible, Ivan. And I think, you know, likewise where we were, you know, a few times in particular, you know, the ball went into David, double marked, and the ball was maybe kicked back out 40 yards.
Yeah.
Sean O'Shea got one on in front of the Cusick stand one time, went in a run, and then put on the brakes and turned and gave it back. And there were supporters in front of us. It's easy talk up in the stand, but obviously there's a game plan, and you don't take it into cul-de-sacs. You look at you recycle, it's patience. Mm-hmm. You wait for the opening. The wind, as you said, tricky enough in Croke Park always, but you know, I thought that when we needed the scores, the 2 pointers, you know, particularly Paddy and Sean O'Shea, you know, Sean, it was great to see him back, because we know what Sean O'Shea brings to the team. You know, he's
and
one of the
70 minutes is going to be huge.
Yeah, 70 minutes is huge. You could see maybe early on he was a bit reluctant to kick, even for the 2 pointer. Will I, won't I? But he did, and he nailed it, and that was great for his confidence too. But I suppose, you know, we were talking about it yesterday after the game, like, is that an injury now? And we've said this before, the condensed season, you get an injury, the recovery, yeah, and to get back to the level required, it's massive. And there's huge credit due to Jack O'Connor has been going on throughout the season about the injuries. Mm-hmm. And we've had an amount of them, for one reason or another. But the recovery and to get back to the top table and playing at the level that's required, it's a huge, there's a huge amount of work that goes in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant to get Shawnee back, and I think that'll really stand him.
Yeah. Speaking of Shawnee, Andrew, I mean, that score right towards the end of the first half was absolutely crucial in the grand scheme of things, because you look nice to be going behind, and then that score was just, it felt like a big score in the game, especially kind of, I suppose, what happened with Dublin, you know, the start of the second half. We weren't to know that at half time, but again, a lot of people I was chatting to at half time were saying that could be a real crucial score in the game, just to kind of not give Dublin that momentum going in at half time.
And you cannot overestimate the confidence that we could have Shawnee to kick that score before half time. It was kind of similar to some of the scores he was getting versus Armagh last year in the quarter final into the Hill. He grew so much into the contest on the strength of that score, and was so important to play the 70, like John said yesterday. You could kind of even see it in the quarter final versus Tyrone in the last couple of plays of the game, that he was in possession, he was distributing balls. So he's such a crucial player for this Kerry team. Huge point to be level just before half time, so Dublin didn't have that edge on us at the half time break. It could have been, obviously, they went 3 points up, as you said. That could have been 4 points had Shawnee not gotten that shot over. And then the brilliant 2 pointer in the second half, he assisted a point as well, and he won 2 breaks in the kickout. You could see Shawnee was just ravenous on those breaks yesterday, and probably will start now in the final. And absolutely fantastic, because you look at, let's say, a lot of people might call Shawnee, David Clifford and Paddy our big three players. All three of them got 2 pointers in that space of 10 minutes to push us out to a 5 point lead, and that's what you want from your leaders. That was a golden period where we got a goal in 7. We'll talk about the square ball in a few minutes and the decision to give that goal, but I think those three men stood up in those couple of minutes. You're talking about leadership, that's where it counts.
Yeah, almost
and
definitely.
And I thought also, in case we forget it, Graham Sullivan's contribution in the first half.
Incredible.
2 points,
yeah.
Fantastic. But he was the one man that was available when space was at a premium, yeah, and he popped up, given the option to the players in possession. I thought it was brilliant. And you could see, we spoke about it off air, like, when himself and Gavin White were coming off, the tank was emptied, like.
Yeah.
Two of the fittest guys and most mobile on the field, it'll tell you the conditions.
Yeah, you can't ask for much more than really, John, the tank is empty. I think was it the second one he scored? It was a real cracking score as well.
Cracking score, great score.
A forward sort of a score, if you want to call it that. Right, we're gone past half time, Liam, and you're kind of coming out in the second half hoping that Kerry might, you know, that point might drive them on, but it didn't. It almost kind of drove on Dublin. They got the first 3 points of the second half, and a lot of belief from the Dubs that were sitting around us as well at that stage that they could kind of push on. But a real good start to the second half from Dublin.
It was a very good start, and the way Dublin kind of pressed up on us, it was a 4-4-3, and they play a kind of a zonal defence as well. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why Paddy got on a lot of ball, because they were letting him out there and letting him have the ball, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the way the old Dublin team played, because they had basketball coaches, they had all. So if you're not a threat, they won't mark you. That was their kind of their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I suppose it was around the 40th minute, I think I wrote down here, is where when we came under pressure, we lost 3 or 4 kickouts in a row, and in the 41st minute, then I think it was Dermot O'Connor, remember Shane. Hit Dermot out in the wing, and mm-hmm. he caught a massive one just to break the momentum that Dublin were after building, because Dublin were after picking up the pace as well. They were after going 3 points ahead, and what was very important, you know, and I suppose we will have to talk about him because he's been outstanding, Shane Murphy.
Yeah.
That save in the 41st minute from Conn.
Going onto the crossbar.
That was the difference between being down 3 points or 6 points. It would have asked us a lot of questions, but it was a fantastic save. And not too long after, he hit a save from Ross McGarry. You know, but Shane has been outstanding. I just see the kickouts here overall, like 30 kickouts, 19-1 out of the 30. We lost 11 throughout the whole match. You know, and it was for such an intense match. You know, I suppose is that good or bad? Dublin had 22 kickouts, they won 15 and lost 7. You know, so it was just an intense game. It's just so important. Your goalkeeper now is just so important, and he's 14 sheet.
I'd imagine of those 11 kickouts lost, 4 or 5 of those happened to be in the first. It's amazing how we talk about how important the kickout is now, Liam, in the game, and you kind of see the start of the second half. It was just like a hoover. Like every time the ball was being kicked out, Dublin were just winning it, and it's amazing how you can kind of go on this sort of run in a certain period of the game as well, where Kerry just couldn't get their hands on the ball. It all comes from the kickout.
I suppose a lot of the fall goes back to the goalkeeper, which is not.
Yeah,
because like if you're not, for some reason, be able to pick up a break or lose that bit of momentum around the middle of the field, like we did around that time. So, you know, it just shows up in the stats as a kind of a red mark. But I thought Shane was just outstanding. He's a nail on all star, has to be.
And he result in the final.
And you're probably talking about a player of the year as well in my book. Because given the circumstances and the year he's having, no, we don't be putting too much pressure now before the final. But he's been a vital cog in the Kerry setup.
Yeah,
the moment from Shane in that first half, the save on Niall Scully, that shot was dropping short, and he lunged to his left. Brilliant save. I think it's getting forgotten about, and as well, I think it was probably his worst percentage on own kickouts in this championship. Yeah. But in the last 5 minutes, Dermot O'Connor got a kick out. That kick out to Jason Foley on the Hogan stand side. Tomás Kennedy won a break. Huge kick outs to win in the last couple of minutes. He never panics under pressure. Credit to the Dubs. They did a great job on our kick out throughout the day. But we still got a positive percentage on it. But as Liam said, it's been an outstanding year for Shane, and he is a nailed on all-star at this stage.
Yeah, and we picked up a lot of breaks as well from the kick outs, which is great. John, that is on probably the next probably controversial talking point. We'll have to go to a break after this one, but I suppose the one where you're looking at it and you're kind of saying, was it over the line, wasn't it over the line from a Dublin perspective, it just came at such a crucial point in the game as well. I think that's how it's more of a talking point than ever, because it was I think it would have put Dublin 6 ahead at the time as well. It's so hard to, I suppose, hard to judge. We've kind of watched back last night and today. I still can't come to an answer on it. It again, a game of fine margins.
Yeah, definitely, Ivan. And I think when it's so difficult with technology, and we look back on it to say, was it definitely over or not? That's just how it's impossible for the linesman or for the umpires and the referee. I think out of the three big ones, and we'll talk about that, I think the square ball was blatant. I think the other two, you know. But Dublin, they'll talk about that today, and they'll be, and you know, the Dublin supporters will look at these. But I think when there were 3 points up, crucially, Basquell, Paddy Small, Brian Howard, and Costello, like they had four very bad wides. If you get two of those, you're 5 up or 6 up, and I can tell you then it's a mountain then.
Pressure's on, yeah.
And I would say when Jurbinen looks back in the call, you know, he'd look at that, and if he thought going into the game that Conn Callan would be kept scoreless apart from 1-2 pointer, and you'd be saying, well, look, we'll rattle these guys. They had their game plan. They had David nullified to a point. Dylan Ganey was the supply going in. Their defensive structure was very good. He'd be hugely disappointed with the return from his players up front, because they had possession. There was a few terrible wides, and they'll be disappointed with that. But I think the coming back to it, Ivan, it was something that was said last night with Cora Staunton, and I'd like to throw this question out there now. She said that the ladies' football, there's technology in a van, and that they can go at it for goal line and all this. I spoke to a few people last night and today, and they never heard of it. And I wonder, is it out there? Because if it is, it's certainly something the GA should look at. I have never heard it being used in a ladies' game. Is it time to bring it in? Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
And to be fair, we've been advocates for this, John, yeah. And particularly yourself, I think, over the last couple of weeks and months as well. And it's not a Kerry thing. It's not, you know, we're saying tonight that we're still agreeing on it and it can be done. Again, reading a couple of points online, that you don't want it to go in like the soccer with the VR and taking so long. Just even the goal line decision for now would be a great addition. And definitely
big calls, Ivan. You need to get the big calls right. Yeah. Even that square ball, it ended up in the back of the net. That needed to be reviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's a 20 or 30 second
job.
Yeah,
it's a 30 second
reviewed.
Job.
There's enough of cameras up there. There's enough of fellas in white shirts and ties walking around up there. Yeah. No, it can be sorted. And like you said, we have been talking about it for a long. And this might shake it up now because it's after happening in Dublin. We've been on about it for years. When Declan O'Sullivan was creased and when Peter Crowley was creased in the middle of the field, there was never done about it or said about it. But when this could rattle a few cages.
And I think like it's to our advantage today or tonight or yesterday, but next year it mightn't be. I think there's too much effort going all over the country by teams. That commitment, that level of discipline now by players. And to be beaten by on a technicality is not right. Yeah. There was a sideline ball at a crucial stage in the second half in the Hogan stand. It was definitely a Kerry ball. It went to Dublin. Jack O'Connor doesn't remonstrate too often. He was mad.
Yeah.
And like Dublin were in descendancy. The momentum was with them. That could lead to a two-pointer.
Very quickly.
So like these can't happen. And I think like we don't want to be going where we're looking and we're spending 5 minutes to make a decision, but I think the goal line technology and on the sidelines as well, this type of thing, it should be instant. To like the score, is it a tar and eel? Within 30 seconds it's done.
Yeah, done and dusted. It doesn't impact the play.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
No, you're welcome back to the programme. Liam, you wanted to go with Tim Moynihan there. We'll chat to him maybe when he come back for the next report. But he's not a fan of VAR in the game. He's watching too much World Cup.
Of course he's a fan, Ivan, because it would make the game longer. So people would be listening to Ambrose and Timmy way longer. So Timmy'd love if it was held up for 30 seconds a couple of times during the game. It'll suit him down to the ground.
Well, all those say well done to Tim and Ambrose yesterday. I got a bit of it when I got home yesterday evening and listening to clips today. Another fine performance from the Geo in Crow Park. But yeah, John, we kind of left off the conversation kind of quickly there, I suppose, and that we're moving on to the square ball now, and it'll again with the notion of VAR will come back again. But look, it was the wrong decision, and we're fair enough in this programme to openly admit it. It was wrong, and it probably, look, a pity, probably it happened in the grand scheme of things. It worked out in Kerry's favour this time. If it went against us, we might be talking a small bit differently this evening about it. But again, probably further emphasises that, you know, that sort of conversation. But in the end of the day, if he was outside the square, it was a well taken goal, because the way you kind of palm it past the keeper like that, it's an impressive kind of skill when a high ball, the sun up in the air and everything else. But again, it was the wrong decision.
Wrong decision. That's where there's no excuse for the umpires, being honest with you. That's what they're there for. Square ball, scores, infringement inside, that's it. And it has been spoken about, not being critical of this group in particular, yesterday with Brendan Cawley, but the umpires, sometimes their positioning is just not right. And, you know, there's no better hiding in Croke Park, whether you're a player. If you make a mistake as a player, one thing. You make a mistake as an umpire, you live with it. That was a square ball. It was a free out, but it was well taken. But I think you had Sean O'Brien Dermot O'Connor in there. And it just goes to show the way when you change, you vary it. A high ball in, maybe were we going for a point? Did it drop short? We'll never know. But the way it was, the technique to get in the net was brilliant. But we'd have to say here on Terrace Talk to the free out.
Good basketball skills from Sean O'Brien, who definitely has experience like that. But you could see it. Kerry knew heading into this game that Dublin are weak early, and they expose that. Remember the Westmeath game where Westmeath got a goal late on. Louth got a goal, I think, from a similar position in the first round of the championship. So obviously it's a square ball. But
yeah, and I think like with the new rules, because they're around long enough now. But like with the two pointer, there's always a chance it'll drop short.
Yeah.
And I do think the umpires probably, when the ball was kicked, they didn't expect it to drop short either. So they were looking at the score to see, make sure it was going to go over the bar next to the drop. So they weren't watching that. So it was a mistake on the umpire's side of it. All right.
Well, the one thing I would say about that umpire on, let's say the side that went into the net, he was very concerned about whether the ball had crossed the line or not. And you kind of see he was kind of standing behind the post looking straight through the net. So he was fully convinced the ball actually went over the line. Now, Evan Comfort was remonstrating a lot after that. Was we all thought he was remonstrating over the ball wasn't over the line, but evidently he was more than likely remonstrating that it was a square ball, I'd imagine, was he?
The square ball is what he was remonstrating, yeah.
You've done umpire now. Like, there's a huge difference between doing an umpire in a county league game or a national league game. The calls in Croke Park yesterday, communication between the umpires is zero, I'd say.
It's very hard with
very
the
hard, isn't it? To be fair, so...
Yeah. And should they be kind of mic'd up with everybody else?
Everyone's mic'd up. And the decision is, you press your mic, you put up no flags, no nothing. Because we had an instance above in Croke Park ourselves, it was a Dublin-Fermanagh match where the ball crossed the line as well. And, you know, we had a call in the referee, Padraig O'Sullivan, at the time, and he handled it. But it is a hard spot to be because there's so much to watch.
Yeah.
And the game is so intense now. It's worse now than back to years ago because it's so fast. Like between two pointers, one pointer, you know, there's so many things to be looking out for. Square balls, and there's two different rules for the square balls.
From a
free kick, it's the old rule. Where and then from normal play, it's the new one that you can be in before the ball comes in. So there's a lot of things there. So that's what I'm saying. For big games like this, like the technology is there. And I know Moynihan's listening and he'll probably be giving out. But
for red
cards, goal scoring chances or anything like that, there should be a kind of a quick review of it. And there'll be no, you're taking it away from, because even the one that crossed the line yesterday, like the camera, RTE found it hard. You were listening to the Sunday game last night, giving out about the umpire. And they couldn't figure out if it crossed the line themselves.
Yeah.
And they were able to pause it. And this happened in a split second. So, it's wrong, really. And I think you can take a lot of the blame game off the referees and the umpires' hands by... And I heard it in as well, where they wanted to bring in referees as umpires. It'd make no difference. Because they're going to be situated in the same place in the game so quick. You know, so I do think that bit of technology can be used.
Yeah, extra officials.
On that Ross McGarry panned effort, the umpire, let's just imagine the umpire was looking at it. He didn't say to Cawley at the time that was a goal. Let's say the umpire was looking straight at it. He didn't believe it had crossed the line. No, not a lot of people maybe are talking about that. And we could thank Mike Breen's noggin for keeping it out of the net. But look, the angle that's going around constantly, it is a biased angle because as you see with goal line technology, perspective is everything with these things. And look, when Hawkeye came in, I think we all thought goal line technology was going to be a part of it. But apparently, because these situations happen so rarely, that it wasn't. But I think yesterday could be like your Sean Kavanagh bringing down Conor McMahon this moment.
It's Dublin.
For black card, as Liam said, that's another point too. So I think we could be seeing that coming into the GAA in the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, the goal line one, definitely. I'd imagine when Hawkeye is there in these stadiums, it could be introduced. Liam, I suppose just back to that Kerry goal goes in, and then it's a sort of a turning point in the game because obviously Dublin had got their sort of foothold. Kerry then kind of got that goal. Was out of nowhere, but the goal went in. Then we got a glut of two pointers in very quick succession, which were all crucial, really, to getting that kind of re-establishing that lead. It went up to 3, 4, 5 points, I think, at one point. And kind of from there on in, it was Dublin chasing the game back. But a really, really crucial, maybe 10, 12 minutes or so for the Kingdom.
It was, yeah. And that goal was huge because, we were gasping for air at the time. We were trying to get a bit of momentum, a bit of traction, and we couldn't. But when the goal went, you could see then we started slipping up the gears a bit. And our leaders came to the fore. No, like Shawnee's kick there was on the 50, the two pointer, 52nd minute, I think, and that was a golden moment, and that kind of it just kept that space between us. That 4 or 5 point gap was always crucial because when they came down, Dublin they kick a point and bring it to maybe to 4. We go down and tap it up to 5 again. Mm-hmm. So it went like that for a while, and I think it was important because that fear was always there that they get a goal and you'd have that McManaman moment of the ground shaking and the momentum would turn completely. And I thought that once we kept the 4 or 5 points ahead of them, I was kind of comfortable enough myself.
Yeah, no, most definitely. That kind of brings us in towards the end of the game, John, and we've gone on a small bit here with everything else, but I suppose, as you mentioned, there was a couple of wides from Dublin toward that latter stage, but obviously the kind of crowning moment of the game really was Clifford's point, and just at that moment, the celebrating, the point, there's a great video, Andrew's mad about them with the GAA as well on social media, of it kind of all slowed down. A real, real, pride moment from him as well, and a lot of talk again about over celebrating everything else. But God, like, these guys are amateurs, and they're, you know, playing in front of 82,000 people. You know, it's going to get emotion. You're playing for your town. It's what the GAA is about. And I thought that this kind of malarkey that's going on social media all day today, I think, is just a non-story. Really great to see the passion from him at the end.
You can't beat passion, Ivan, and we saw it Saturday evening with Mayo, with Kobe McDonald, and, you know, we see David. It shows what it means, you know, and the reaction by the crowd, it said it all. And this is David celebrating a score that has Kerry in an All-Ireland final, and rather than having a go at Dublin, he's celebrating. The team are jubilant, and, you know, fair play to him. And it's passion. His pride in where you come from, his pride in that jersey, and Kerry back in Croke Park for an All-Ireland final, going for a 40th All-Ireland. That's what it's all about. And anyone that says they wouldn't do it in his position, well, they're not telling you the truth, because anybody to get a chance of kicking that score and turning to the crowd and to see the sea of green and gold was brilliant.
I'd have the jersey off waving it around my head and running around it.
I've seen plenty worse at club games. Worse celebration at club games.
And like people say, like, he had a quiet game, 1-5 in an All-Ireland semi-final.
It's his highest championship against Dublin.
So like, the standards that this man has, you know, I suppose, put out there for himself is unreal. But like, when I was reading tweets about over celebrating and 1-5, and, you know, that he was poor and all this.
Is it jealousy, Liam?
It is. I suppose, look, he is the greatest we've ever seen. I think that's out there now. Before, we were kind of saying we wait till he's finished. But
yeah,
the man has everything. You know, he's class on and off the field.
Yeah.
No, and I think and what's great as well is that when he does celebrate, it gets the crowd going. And, you know, to see the kids, and there was a clip I saw as well today where after the game he was signing autographs for Dublin youngsters. Yeah. You know, so don't tell me that this man doesn't have class, like, you know. So then people on social media and stuff like that, it, like, when we're watching a genius, and I think we need to sit back and enjoy it, and hopefully we'll have 2 weeks' time, we'll have another bit of
and
it.
Like we've said it here several times during the years in Terrace Talk, is that you respect the genius in every county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a genius in every county, maybe not at David Clifford's level. And look, talking about geniuses, Kieran Kilkenny departed the scene today, another genius in Dublin.
8 All-Ireland medals.
Castle Knockman, what a legend. 8 All-Ireland medals. He owes nothing to Dublin. He was one of the best. Fair. As a real sportsman, came back from Australia and won 8 All-Irelands with Dublin, and we wish him well in his retirement. But he's a genius in his own county. So we're lucky that we've had a lot of geniuses down here, and we've, you know, Paddy's not far behind.
Yeah.
Shawnee Shea, Jason Foley is another man. You know, he's not going to be going up kicking 2-pointers, but he'll manage and he'll nullify the best of the opposition.
Yeah.
Like with David too, you think about the 2023 All-Ireland final where he had those misses in the second half. A lot of those ghosts were banished yesterday with that last score. It was like a relief nearly just coming out of him with that celebration. You were talking about that video that's doing the rounds on social media. Dublin fans weren't too happy with some of his celebrations. There's some great stills. Credit to Mark Ford for that video. And Bohemian Rhapsody, great music great behind it. Dead right to celebrate. We're back in an All-Ireland final.
And look, he probably puts up with a lot as well that we don't see or hear.
He got a lot of booing, from the outset of the game.
Yeah, you know, I suppose it's like if you're a Manchester United, when Manchester United were going well, or Liverpool or whoever, you know, everyone wants to knock you. And I suppose, look, he's at that stage now where everyone wants to have a clip off him. But
no one successfully yet.
It's going to take some men to knock this fella down.
They might try, but it's taking time. I want to get to a couple of comments before we head back to a break, and obviously back to Clarity Races as well. Well, gents, referee controversy aside, Dublin got a lot of things right. They played two defensive lines on the arc, went narrow on the outside, but went with that's if that makes sense, on the inside. This not only stifled the direct running of Gavin White, but also negated Joe and Dermot. Unfortunately, our slow build-up and running into traffic at times didn't help matters. My worry is that have Dublin given Mayo an effective blueprint? A bit worried about how exposed Paul and Dylan were. But in saying this, thought our half-back line was superb, aided by Shawnee and midfielders. Jack uses bench wisely and time changes perfectly. Ultimately, semi-finals are all about winning and getting the house in order for 2 weeks' time. Finally, quick word on Kilkenny, class operator and the ultimate team player. That's from Tom in North Kerry, so plenty to divulge in that one. Kiriabu lads, all the controversies with umpires would be sorted if they're allowed to take their guide dogs on the pitch with them. That's from Dennis. There we go. Hi to Terrace Talk. I know you have a stat. Would love to know how many touches Dylan Ganey had and how many times did he kick backwards rather than goalwards. Would also like to know what his function as a scoring forward was. Overall, glad we got the rub of the green versus Dublin and not before time. And that's from Sean in Tralee. Well, we do have a stats man, and not sure if we've that much of a breakdown of the stats, but Andrew, you're the one to get it out there everywhere about Dylan Ganey and his not missing. I know his first miss
he went viral.
You were on the Sunday game and everything. I must get your autograph before you head out, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, look at maybe a fella having a quieter game, but what he's done for Kerry in the championship so far, I'd imagine he'd be a big influence in the All-Ireland final as well. But noteworthy enough that his first miss of the championship ends up in a Kerry goal.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think I'll be welcome back in Dingle now anymore after that. going away more than I thought it would. But look, he still assisted a goal and a pint. Not his most prolific day by his brilliant standards that he's shown all year. He still set Kerry's second top scorer, 22 points all year long. It's just kind of, it's one of those things that we've talked about so many times with this Kerry team. How do you go at this Kerry team? You could say they did a great job on David Clifford, a fantastic job on Dylan Ganey. But then you look at Sean O'Shea and Paddy Clifford, what they did yesterday. I think it was it Peter Canavan who said, "Rob Peter to pay Paul in the Sunday game." There's so many aspects of this Kerry team. And this is, not a lot of people are mentioning, this is a Kerry team without Paul Ganey yesterday, a late removal from the game. So Paul, it could be back for the final. I probably expect him to be on the 26. He has two goals in finals in 2014 and 2019, so he's always a big game player. There's so many fires to extinguish for this Mayo team in the final for Kerry. And look, a lot of good forwards in this Kerry, in the Mayo team as well. Great bench. They got great joy off their bench last day. Might have been a few scores in garbage time, as they like to call it in the States. But look, there's so many fires to extinguish in this Kerry team currently, and I wouldn't be doubting Dylan to head into the final and have a good performance once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't remember Joe Brennan calling for VAR after any of the following: his red card challenge on Declan O'Sullivan in 2011, Peter Crowley being taken out in 2016, Owen Merton overcarrying the ball for goal in 2019, David Goff wrongly overturning the free for David Clifford in the 2023 final. None of the Kerry managers made excuses for those decisions after any of those games. Joe would do well to learn from them and have a little class, especially considering they have home advantage, a bigger population and funding no other county has access to. There was a mistake for the square ball, but Niall Scully should also have been sent off instead of receiving a yellow, swings and roundabouts. So yeah, another couple of good points there, and reminiscing the decisions that went against Kerry in the past. We have to go for a break. Keep the comments coming in. We'll try to get to as many as we can. 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp. You can call 066 7123 666. We'll be back to Clanny Racecourse after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Tim, you have a few lads here, big fans of yours in the studio, and they're not too happy with your VAR comments.
I think there's a bit of substance what I'm saying, Ivan, on this one. But VAR, I want to know where it'll stop. I've no problem with goal line technology, but so many things are happening around the pitch at the moment. You can see in rugby at the moment where you could get a yellow card and it's upgraded to a red, and that seems to be the way we're going down. And there will be, the Gaelic football game is a game that we want to flow, but if we bring this in, fair enough, we're saying high profile games, these lads are putting in a massive effort. What about the fella playing below in Division 4 of a county league? There's no cameras there, very little supporters, the management team, and they're fighting relegation stroke promotion. Then they've been undid by a decision made by the officiating team, and they lose their honour of going up or probably don't go down. And that's, you know, we're opening a can of worms. Is our game gone to that level now where there's a huge, it's my passion, the clubs, because your listeners this evening, Ivan, are all club people. And that's where every Sean O'Shea, every David Clifford, every other player on the Kerry panel has started. I don't want a divide between the top level and the fellas that are putting in as much effort as the county players. And that's what I think it'll open a can of worms. And that's me. I've no problem with goal line technology. I've no problem with Hawkeye, but Hawkeye operated yesterday in Croke Park and we could have told him it was wide ourselves. And that was it. Honestly, there was 2 metres outside a ball went in at once and the umpire called out. And, you know, and I go back, and I'm probably going off on another tangent now. The umpire, like, we're all human. We all make errors, maybe some of us every day. You know, that was a human error yesterday by the umpire. And as you alluded to, Liam, I am listening to you, by the way, lads. As you alluded to...
Is that in between the chips and curry, Tim?
No, I had actually chips, cheese and a little bit of coleslaw on the side. So, look, I was quite happy, but it's not a day for eating hot food, lads. But my point is, if you pardon the pun, lads, that, you know... We had access to social media last night. You could watch it 6 or 7 times. And everyone giving the lambasting to this man today had that luxury of looking at it 6 or 7 times. I would ask any one of those to be down there in such a cauldron, a hot cauldron, where everyone fights for every little margin. So we can't go at umpires, can't go at officials today. And I know, like, Ger Brennan was the first man that came out and said there should be technology. I didn't hear Jack O'Connor asking for technology. All I'm saying is, are we hitting the panic button again? Our game is changing at pace, but I'm very wary. Like, again, and I'm going down the club route. There's clubs in Kerry at the moment. They'd be fighting for junior, intermediate and senior. What if they've been undone their season by, something like a square ball, a goal or a ball that went over the line? I remember years ago in Guineagulla, I was involved with St. Pat's and there was no net in the goals. And when is a goal not a point? When is a point not a goal? And... the referee on that particular day, he won't be named, but he apologised. Tim, I thought it was over the bar. And I said, it went under the bar, but there was no net. So my point is, you know, for the guys down the divisions and for clubs, we need to look after them as well. And we can't create a huge divide. And I hope the lads understand that. That's the gospel according to Tim now tonight.
Well, we appreciate the gospel according to Tim as ever. And Tim, we'll be back to you again very shortly for a report in the next race from Clarny. He does make a good point though, John. I mean, you know, when you do look at it, and it is a game for everybody, and we talk about, you know, youngsters playing county leagues right up along, and he does make a good point about that. But I suppose it's in the grander scheme of things, maybe when you get into the bigger stadium, we only see Hawkeye in Thurles and in Croke Park. Is it a sort of thing that we only have that technology running at those games? Is that fair then for maybe a Munster final in Fitzgerald Stadium? There would be a lot. It's at the very, very early stages of even talking about this, so there would be a lot to consider.
Yeah, definitely, and I can see his point. You know, it's a... I don't think it's feasible to do it down at every level,
not
being honest.
Every level, no.
I don't think so, to be fair. But all I say is that Hawkeye came in seamlessly, kind of, really. Had a few little hiccups here and there, but generally it has worked. You know, if it is a tight game, 1 point game, and a ball goes over the bar, and it's Hawkeye says it's a point, and the umpire signals wide, that's a huge call. I think the goal line technology is something that should be looked at. Not so sure about around for the rest of the game, because referees in general, and I have to say Brendan Colley yesterday, overall he had a very good game. You know, mm-hmm. He let the game flow, and I think that's the way it is. You have to say consistently this championship, despite of the speed of it, you know, most of the calls have to do with scores. There might be not one that was it a black or whatever, but that's not the referee, it's the interpretation of the rules, to be fair. We saw it in the hurling. If you have possession of the ball and you're brought down, it's a penalty and a black card. But if you haven't possession of it and you're brought down, it's just a penalty. So, and a yellow. So I think it's definitely something to be looked at, but I think goal line technology is definitely something that we should... Yeah,
and
we should,
I definitely can see Tim's point about the difference between the club and intercounty, but the intercounty has gone into a different stratosphere altogether now.
Yeah, different level.
It is gone professional. You know, mm-hmm. it's a business. There's huge money involved. You know,
people watching as well,
and the people watching, and we're on about TV channels and who's showing it and who's not showing it. It is huge. So these decisions, you know, when you're, it's all right for a county league match. You know, you'll sit into your car, you'll bite the steering wheel going back the road, and you'll say, "Damn that fella," or whatever. But like, this is massive. This is like going to the Premiership, and getting calls wrong. You can't do it because there's too much at stake.
Has to be right.
There's too much, and it has to be right.
Yeah, no, 100%. Lads, we have to go for a break. We've news at 7 coming up next.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Rightio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you for the next hour or so. The first hour absolutely flew by again on the evening after Kerry All-Ireland semi-final win. So we could be on air till midnight tonight. But we will make way for other programming come 8 o'clock this evening. Do keep the comments coming in. Loads in there. We'll try to get to as many as we can. 083-300-3300 on text or WhatsApp. Or you can call 066-7123-666. We're delighted to have Cuthelm Keyes on the line. Of course, he's a senior GA correspondent with the Irish Independent, was in Croke Park yesterday. I'm hearing, Cuthelm, from my producer that you're actually pulling outside Croke Park. Have you left there yet after a busy weekend?
Well, I'm back at the scene, or should I say I'm back at the scene of the crime or the crimes, maybe. I shouldn't say that too loud down on a Kerry radio station. No, I've left the office, which is in the city centre, and I was coming out just, I pulled in. I'm actually at the gates of the Cusick stand, just at the back of the Cusick stand. And it's a lot quieter, obviously, than it was this time. This time yesterday, when there was a lot of jubilant Kerry people still around at that stage. A lot of happy people, relieved people, but a good Kerry crowd there, I have to say. Really good Kerry crowd there, and they made their presence felt very much coming down the home straight.
Yeah, good tailback all the way back to the kingdom late into the night last night. Cuthelm, look, go straight into it, I suppose. A lot of controversy today on social media and other stations and online and everything else. There were so many side pieces, so it was a good game of football as well.
Yeah, there was, and obviously some of the decisions were black and white. It was a square ball, but it's very, very difficult for umpires, and I've made this point, it's very difficult for umpires to be able to track the flight of the ball while at the same time detect the origin of a run of a player who is in the square ball like that. Those umpires are trained to, or not that trained, their positioning is key. So they see Dylan Gainey with the ball, they see him launching the kick. They have to be ready, assuming that's going over the bar. It drops short. Dylan Gainey kicks have been making it all year. They presume this one is going to make it. So they're looking at the flight of the ball. In the meantime, Sean O'Brien, the origin of his run is within the square as the ball has been kicked. So look, it wasn't picked up on, but these things aren't picked up on. There's a debate over whether technology should be used in that instance, but how far back do you go with technology? Obviously, the penalty call was subjective. Brendan Cawley had a good view in it. I felt Joe O'Connor leaned in a little bit. Pádraig O'Coffey leaned back. So it was much of a muchness, and the decision went Kerry's way. And for the final one, for the Ross McGarry goal chance, was the ball over the line in its entirety? It's very, very hard for anybody to determine that. It looked it, but you can't say with any certainty. And I think that's where the goal line technology may apply in the future, and it's probably the easiest addition to make because technology is already there for Hawkeye, so you can add to that. So the calls definitely fell Kerry's way. There's no denying that. But obviously calls have gone against Kerry in years past, many of them. There are swings and roundabouts. It's unfortunate. It should be better. Technology should help, certainly in the case of the last incident. But Kerry are there.
A lot of text in this evening, and a lot of the discussion this evening has been around the introduction of what we're calling VAR down here, but video technology. Cuthelm, what's your kind of personal view on it? I mean, there's arguments coming in here this evening that, you know, a lot of club football down here, a lot of listeners here playing club football in Kerry, obviously you can't stretch down that far as you might compare to the likes of your Premier League and across channel in the soccer. So, I mean, you know, is it something that you kind of could see potentially introduced to, you know, your likes of Thurles or Croke Park, your bigger grounds where Hawkeye is already there? Would you be a fan of it? Would you be against it? What's your kind of personal opinion on it?
Well, I suppose there's two elements to that. There is the goal line technology, Hawkeye, which detects, obviously, with sensors and cameras, what goes through the posts. So I think that within reason, that can probably be applied to beneath the crossbar for the goal line. So if that can be applied to the goal line, obviously there's a lot of bodies around. So does that impact on the cameras and on the sensors? Maybe a chip in the ball. There's already a chip in the hurling ball, but that's for authentication for the license hurler, or for the license slivers. So maybe that applies in football and that would make it easier. But it might be difficult with two umpires standing by the side of the post and a lot of bodies in the goal mouth. How does that impact? So that's probably something that should be tested to see, is it feasible to detect whether a ball is fully over the line. It must be fully over the line, remember. Mm-hmm. For a ball to be out, it must be fully over the end line or the sideline or the goal line for it to be out of play. And out of play is obviously a score. With regard to wider VAR, say a square ball, an infringement in the square, maybe a foul in the square, everything like that, where do you start and where do you stop? That's the great question, because then you're looking at the two hops further out, the six, the five steps. You're looking at maybe a foul pass. You're looking at all of these things. How far do you go back? Because once you start, you'll continue to peel the layers off revision right throughout the field. How far do you go back? It would be almost impossible. There are so many actions in a game of Gaelic football. It's a little bit easy in soccer because obviously most of it is around the goal. Was there foul play in the lead? But there are so many actions, so many collisions, so much contact that you really could not go back. And it would be akin to re-refereeing a game in that respect. So I don't see it. I think there was a feasibility study conducted 3 years ago about the use of technology. And while it wasn't recommended, it wasn't completely rebuffed either. But I know that there was a lot of issues over redrafting of rules and definitions and all of those things. And there were a number of problems. And they consulted widely with soccer, rugby, even the NFL in America. There was consultation about the pros and cons of it. So they didn't really lean one way or the other. They did say technology was a possibility when they looked at it, but there would be challenges and difficulties around that. That was 2023, 2024. It hasn't been looked at since, but I do think the goal line technology will be prompted by this to have a look at that element of it. Whatever about everything else, that may be further down the road, but there would be limits to it.
You wrote about Paddy Clifford into the night last night or this morning. I was reading it online that, you know, another masterclass from him. And, you know, a lot of talk down here is, you know, shutting down David Clifford. And we often preview a match wondering how a team can kind of cope with David. But then if you can cope with David, you've got Paddy roaming in the half forward line as well. And we saw that kind of influence, I suppose, against Donegal last year in the final. And very, very similar yesterday, putting in a man of the match performance, Paddy, back to his full fitness and at his best yesterday.
He really was very good. He ran the game and he ran it from an early stage. And I know Dublin will make the point that the system worked in the first half and his influence maybe wasn't as profound. But by not man-marking him as Finbar Rorty did in Killarney, I just feel he grows into a game. He finds his stride and his flow and he's able to make those passes unchecked. So those magnificent pass into Sean O'Shea for the mark, one for Breno Begley, but there were others too that almost came to hand into David Clifford inside. They were down between the on the Hogan stand side in the first half. Just brilliant passes, and when he doesn't have someone tagging him all the time, it just gives him an armchair right to be able to grow into game. Now maybe he shrugs that presence off and the space opens up anyway. Dublin and every other team that plays Kerry has a conundrum. Who did they mark? Well, they obviously marked David Clifford. That's a given. Dylan Gainey came into that game in great form. So they detailed their next marker, who was Lee Gannon. They put Lee Gannon on Dylan Gainey. He did very well in them. And obviously, they have an outrider for David Clifford. David Byrne did very well in them, 1-1. But Brian Howard or Conor Callaghan at times, Niall Scully, everybody was dropping back so that there was at least two in his vicinity to cover those breaks and those checks back in. So from that point of view, they marshalled that Kerry attack really well. But they gambled a little bit by leaving Paddy Clifford up. And it was Paddy Clifford, when he pushed further up, he did a lot of his work outside the 45-metre line, but he pushed closer to goals in the second half. And they still left him largely unchecked. And he was able to build up that speed and that, with that momentum and everything, to put over those scores. So I felt by not tagging him and not detailing somebody 1-1, go with three, mark three of the forwards, even if Sean O'Shea, and that's a gamble too, but you can't take them all, obviously, if you're playing a zonal system. But Sean O'Shea will do damage, obviously, and he did it against Armagh when he was largely left unchecked within that system. So Mayo are different. Mayo will go man-to-man. Quite often they have a lot of markers and they will detail man-to-man. So it will be a different game, a different dynamic. But I just feel that leaving Paddy Clifford to roam free, Donegal absorbed the lesson from last year, and Dublin will look back on that and say, could we not have sacrificed somebody else from the system to check him?
Yeah. Finally, Colm, just before we let you go, obviously you covered Louth against Mayo on Saturday. Disappointing for the people of Louth. A fantastic run for them, came up just short. A lot of people already saying it's going to be a Kobe against Clifford final. It's the markings of a good game in 2 weeks' time, nonetheless, should be a fantastic occasion.
Yeah, I think so. I think people are very excited about the prospect of those two players at opposite ends of the field, but there are many more. We've mentioned Paddy Clifford and Ryan O'Donoghue, and to me, the similarities there, and they're two fiery, aggressive players in how they take on defences. So Ryan O'Donoghue has been a terrific leader for Mayo, not just this year, but over the years. And as I just mentioned there, they have a lot of pretty good man markers too. Enda Heshin, Dunica McHugh did so well against Cork. Then you have David McBrien, who I thought it was terrific the last day for Mayo. And really, and they have that aggressive high-up press that was able to turn Louth over. Whether they would have the same success with that tactic, I think there'd probably be a risk in pushing too high up on Kerry, because once the break comes and you have another 2 weeks into Gavin White, another 2 weeks into Sean O'Shea, Joe O'Connor came back to a bit of form yesterday. I think there's more in Dermot O'Connor. Thought Mike Breen did well, and there's probably even more attacking presence in him. So there's a lot of room for improvement in Kerry's performance too. I felt that we mentioned at the outset, any bit of luck that was going, they got it yesterday. They got it against Tyrone as well, but they still won the games. And I thought, as close as Dublin got, and for all the wides that they had, and for all the missed opportunities and things that went against them, I thought Kerry were still comfortable enough coming down the home straight. It always felt like they probably would win it.
Brilliant stuff. Colm, thanks very much. Really appreciate you taking the time out on your way home from work this evening. Try to put the big ball out of your head for the rest of the night. Thanks a million for chatting to us this evening.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you.
Well, our pleasure. It's Colm Keyes there. Of course, you can catch all his work online, independent.ie, and obviously picking up the papers as well. Really, really interesting insights from Colm there, lads, as well, to be fair. And, it's a fair debate about the VAR and everything. As you mentioned there, Liam, the introduction maybe of the goal line would be the next step into the world of technology that we'd be living in.
Probably, yeah. But look, it hasn't happened too many times, the ball crossing the line. Mm-hmm. I think that this is the first one that I can remember in a long time.
For such a big debate.
You know, I think the red cards are more, it pops up more often. Just to review that little maybe 30-second clip of a red card and leave it like that.
Yeah, it's kind of how far you go back.
It's a debate that'll go on. It'll probably go on for years. We were talking about it for years here, John. So it'll go on for longer.
And it'll be long gone by the time it's introduced.
It adds to the whole fun of it too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Lads, we have to go for a break and go back to Tim in Clanny Racecourse as well. 083 300 3300, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Right, lads, we're on the home straight. And again, as I said, we could talk all night with everything from yesterday. One, Liam, we wanted to bring up, and it was, sad news we were on the train home last night when we saw the tweet by Kerry GA that Evan Looney's grandmother had sadly passed away before the game. And knowing that, and Evan still came on and made a big impact as well. We probably needed him most. That's it. I think Armin Heimer came on around the same time just to kind of show up that defence. Just goes to show the courage these lads have, and that kind of ability to get out there and play no matter what the circumstances. And sympathies to all the Looney family over there in Killarney as well, but just goes to show what it means to these lads as well, doesn't it?
It does, Ivan. And look, and like you said, sympathies to all the Looney family, and it shows like what kind of fellas and people you're dealing with, for that young boy to go out and knowing that his grandmother had passed away. And I'm sure she was very proud of him wearing the green and gold jersey and the black and amber jersey of Crokes, of course. But he did her proud yesterday, and I hope that's a bit of solace. We pass on our sympathies to the Looney family.
Yeah, no, well said. Liam, a couple of texts to get to, lads. We need opinions on all these. Terrace Talk, who decides the jerseys for the final? Do both change or do we toss a coin? Kerry in blue is not the same. That's from Steve in Phoenix. Andrew, you're a good man for social media. I see a lot of Mayo asking for the white jersey today. I said it might bring him a small bit of luck. They're not a big fan of, I think it's that black and red one they have at the moment. yeah. is their alternative. So I'd imagine both will have to change. That's usually kind of the way about it, isn't it? We'll just have to wait and see in the next week, I suppose.
Yeah, when Mayo came down to Clarny during the league, they wore that white jersey, a lovely strip, yeah. To be fair. And I think when one team changes, the other team will, and Kerry, I guess, will be in blue for the All-Ireland final again.
We won our All-Ireland last year in blue, so...
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go for Christmas present as well, so I can get another occasion out of it.
I must say, actually, the goalkeeper jersey Kerry were wearing yesterday, that one hasn't been on the shelf. They wanted to get that one in. There's been a big love for it. It started going back to that black and gold from years ago, but a white collar. Very nice trim on Shane Murphy yesterday. Hi, Ivan, Paddy, Clifford and Sean Shea had a great game. David Clifford had a good game too, even though he was marked by two or three players. Graham O'Sullivan as well, and they carried the team over the line. As for the rest, they were very poor. The midfield needs to wake up a small bit. Dermot O'Connor and Joe O'Connor need to wake up. There's no point in passing the ball to one another. They need to try to score. Mayo midfielders can kick the ball over the bar and can kick two pointers. Our midfield can do nothing, I'm afraid. Mayo will hammer Kerry in 2 weeks' time. Sam will be going to the West. Jack O'Connor spoke after the match and said Dublin were a good team, but they looked good because his own team was poor. They scored 20 points and had 12 wides. What does this tell you about the Kerry team? That's from Aidish and Tralee. I wonder if that's Aidish half a Mayo fan at this rate. It is something that Kerry have to watch, and John, we'll fully preview Kerry against Mayo next week. We'll likely be out and about somewhere in the county as well. Aidish, not too confident in Kerry's chances against Mayo.
Yeah, I'd say it. You must have some connection in me, all right.
There's a bit of red and green blood there is.
It's look. We
I can hear green and red Mayo
in the background.
We'll talk about Mayo next week, I suppose, to be fair. But you'd have to say from Kerry, it was a professional performance, really. It was a real tactical battle. We got a lot right. Dublin certainly got a lot right. They had the misses, but you know, we're our experience got us over the line. And like you said, the impact off the bench, it all played its part in it. These games are, you know, we're often frustrated. We're up at games, Liam, yeah. myself, a lot of games together, and we see a guy 40 yards out or 30 yards out. Will he not go for a score? But it's a percentage shot.
Yeah.
Maybe turn and give it back and keep possession. You know, you kick it in, it goes wide, possession straight away then for the opposition. So that's the game plan. And, you know, you'd have to say, we're in an All-Ireland final. Is there more in us? Definitely. Mm-hmm. Individually and as a collective, yeah. There's definitely more in us, yeah. but we're going to come up against the Mayo team that are a different Mayo team,
and they have nothing to lose,
some great talents. And look, people yesterday and on Saturday night after the Mayo semi-final, Kobe and Young Byrne in Croke Park in All-Ireland final day, look, we want Kerry to win, of course. Isn't it great to look at talent in other counties and say and appreciate it?
Yeah,
you know, and on that, Ivan, met a few from Tabor coming down last night, very proud of the connection with Theo Clancy. The centre back for Dublin, the Buckleys and Tabert are his grandparents and his parents. So, you know, there's always a Kerry connection.
We might get a transfer, yes.
We might, exactly.
It's open. Actually, Joe, you mentioned percentages there, John. I was sitting next to a lovely man from Dublin yesterday, and we were chatting for the majority of the game. And he said one of his club men, didn't mention the player or the club, but he's on the extended panel for Dublin. And he asked him one night in the clubhouse, you know, do you practice two pointers? Because this is when Dublin were in near relegation in the league. And he said, no, it's all about percentages now and getting percentage shots over the bar. So only take on a two pointer if you know you're going to guarantee to score. Interesting insight into kind of the backside of it, sort of a thing of like, you're not going to risk taking on a two pointer if it goes wide because your percentages are going to go down. I've never seen such an over the top reaction to refereeing decisions in all my life. It has dominated nearly all the post match discussion, both online and in the media. The only call was call was the square ball, in my opinion. It's like we have imported the World Cup style conspirational attitude towards all decisions in a game without any acceptance that the calls are made in real time. Going by freeze frames is nonsense. We are holding officials to VAR level standards when in the past it was more accepting the marginal calls that can go either way. Because of all this start of controversy, real analysis is then lost and the players don't get the credit they deserve. Kerry were well worth their win and showed great composure and professionalism to manage out the final stage of the game. We'll have to up the performance for the final, no doubt, but we definitely have the players and now also the game smarts to eke out these wins. Kiriaboo, that's from Liam in Ballyhig. That's an interesting one, Liam, from your namesake there in Ballyhig, because it is sort of a one where it has dominated a good bit of time now. In fairness, we gave the game good coverage as well, but those decisions have kind of dominated. You kind of want early this week now for that to kind of go and focus in on Kerry and Mayo into the weekend, change the kind of narrative around everything, because you're kind of, this can kind of linger, can't it, for a while, and it can kind of go into next week, and then all of a sudden there could be a decision in the All-Ireland final to be the talking point again.
Yeah, look, you'll always have a couple of big decisions in every game, but I think it'll die fairly quick. But I think we spoke about it earlier. You know, even a county league match, you'll always pick out the one or two mistakes the referee makes. But no one ever looks at the 12 wides that Dublin kicked.
Yeah.
You know? And I often said that as an umpire to a couple of goalkeepers at times, they might be giving out to me about what the referees have to do. And I'd be saying, look, your corner forwards have to kick in a 14-yard free wide. Why are you giving out about the referee?
Yeah. You know? I would never pat them on the back for a good decision from the referee either.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, the genuine football fella and the fella that knows his football will come away and say, yeah, look, we had chances to win that game without the mistakes.
And we'd have to be honest.
And leave it at that. And I think, look, the mistakes, they're talking points, but I think they'll die down. And look, there's always talking points in every match.
Yeah.
Dublin had 12 wides, is it?
Yeah, 12 wides. Yeah.
50% conversion rate.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Not good enough.
A lot of them came in the second half at a crucial time.
And you can't blame
a
referee for that.
They had another 5 misses between 4 saves and a shot dropping short. Yeah. Yeah. So,
and as well as that, some of the wides, you have to give credit to Kerry defence and the midfielders coming back, and Joe Connor and Dermot coming back.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah, exactly, and put them under pressure for a good strength of the game. Congratulations to Jack, the players and the management team on reaching another All-Ireland final. It was great to see a big Kerry support in Croke Park yesterday. Let's all get behind this wonderful team and put out our flags and bunting and deck our county green and gold. That's from Katrina listening in Tralee. Fantastic sentiment from Katrina, and 100% time out to dust off the flags if they're not out already. Driving down through Tralee today, there's definitely more green and gold out than I saw over the last couple of weeks. You're a big win for hanging up the bunting in SC, John, as well. So important to get the green and gold colours out and get everyone back in the county now for the next 2 weeks. It's always a great build up to an All-Ireland, John, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a feel good fact that there's some of the bunting up last night. My brother Tom had it up when we got back, so I'll be honest with you, it's the bit of pride all over the county, particularly rural areas. Yeah. They put them up to support, and if there's a player from around the area, it's even bigger again. But this is our identity. We're going for the Holy Grail for the 40th time. Let's get behind these lads, because what they're doing for football in this county, you can't measure it. And to the team and management, enjoy the 2 weeks, and to the supporters, let's get behind them in Croke Park.
It's tradition, Ivan, and I think we're great here for tradition, because we have youngsters, whether it's in Ashdy or Curra or Killarney or Tralee or Killarney, when they see the green and gold colours up, and we all, when we were younger, now you want to be a Kerry footballer, you want to be there, and I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, get them out in the houses and everything else.
Must give a mention if you've driven to Tralee from Killarney at Scarcross, the fantastic Up the Kingdom flag.
It's brilliant, across the corner, across the front of the house.
Just near my nan's house, so I must give a mention to that. Absolutely brilliant flag, and that's what you want.
It must be a good boost for the players when they're driving, maybe Killarney to Tralee for work or whatever else. And to be fair, always that road in from just to the outskirts of Killarney, it always starts getting decked out green and gold. Every time I drive over, there seems to be more and more flags. So now get them out, lads, if you have them, pick them up. I'm sure there'll be lads setting flags all over the place. Noisy used not to have them, and give these lads good support going for their $40. And final one, lads, we'll get to, because I must go to ladies and of course hurling as well. Kerry supporters must be sick of listening to the whinging of those outside the county, and especially the media outside of Kerry. The truth is, Dublin were missing their two best players yesterday in referees Goldrick and Goff. Well, what about all the decisions that went against us over the years? Yes, we accepted it and did not run to RTE to make a case for Dublin's defeat. Michael Brosnan and Skibbereen, I think we'll give him that one, a nice one to
text
end
of the
on
night
as well. Text of the night. Liam Brosnan, a massive game for the Kerry ladies as well, and we're on about decking out the county for the men's All-Ireland. It'll be lovely to have the good support behind the ladies as well. I'm sure a big crowd will travel to Thurles on Saturday, a big game against Dublin. Dublin, a team relegated from the league, of course, didn't have a good start to the year, but really picked themselves up. All-Ireland champions against a Kerry team who are flying as well, so should be a really good contest on Saturday evening.
It will be, Ivan, and wouldn't it be great to have two of your senior teams in All-Ireland finals in the coming weeks?
Yeah.
But look, this is going to be a huge test. This is their biggest test so far. Obviously, when you go on the competition, when you get to a semi-final, you're going to have a big test, but these are the All-Ireland champions. Didn't have a massive focus on the National League, even the day we met them above in Dublin. A bad day up there. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of newbies. They've lost a few players, but at the same time, they're you could see there in the last couple of weeks, something like ourselves. They've been building momentum. They know they've, they've got players back, and you could see they are going to be dangerous. But talk about our own girls and the transformation that they have from league to championship as well. Mm-hmm. You could say from that Cork match in Killarney, it just ignited a switch, and you could see from all throughout the panel the players that he's been bringing on, and to be fair to him, the management team, they have been bringing on different players throughout the different games. Mm-hmm. So he's really trying to get game times into the and give himself options, and I think this is going to be a humdinger above on Turles, because I know the Kerry girls are probably hurting as well from last year, the semi final last year. They didn't really do themselves justice, went into a game with a couple of injuries. Hopefully we'll have an injury-free squad, and I think it'll be close, but I had that feeling that the way Kerry are moving, that we could get over the line.
Yeah, would be great, John, for both Codes, ladies and men's, to book their spots in All-Ireland Finals. There'll be a great buzz even the weekend, the next week even, when you have the build-up to both All-Ireland Finals then. Look, there's big pressure on them, a big game, as I said, against All-Ireland champions Dublin, who are starting to find their feet. But as I said, no doubt there'll be a big crowd in Turles to support on the girls, who dispatched Meath so well a couple of weeks ago. They're in top form heading into this one.
Yeah, there'll be a huge crowd, Ivan. Hard to defeat champions, as we know from the men's game. But Dublin, kind of a smash and grab against Cork. Lucky enough, a poor kick out by the keeper was the defining moment in it. Mm. But, a few players back for them. But Kerry, it's all about Kerry. Their impetus has gained momentum. The league is forgotten about. And I think we've improved. And, I think just Kerry's to win. It'll be very tight, but I think Kerry cheers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It would be great. Lads, thanks very much. We'll park it there. And we'll be back next week. A full-on two-hour All-Ireland preview, so don't miss it. I think we might be out and about. We'll have confirmation. It'll be all over social media and ads and everything else. And if not, we'll be here with a full two-hour preview of Kerry against Mayo. So tell everybody to be tuned the way next Monday evening, and then the following Monday, we'll be live. Win or lose from the All-Ireland, from the homecoming as well, which is always a nice evening out of the studio as well. So lads, thanks very much for this evening. We go for a break. We'll be chatting small ball, of course, big weekend for the quarterfinals of the county championship. We have the All-Ireland hurling final, and of course our Camogie girls are in the All-Ireland semi-final as well. So plenty to talk on the small ball after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hardy with you for the next 20 minutes or so. And it's time to move to the small ball, of course. Our two Garvey Superdue quarter finals of the hurling championship took place over the weekend. We know our semi-final pairings next weekend are St. Brendan's against Causeway. Abby Dorney will take on Baidoff, the three in a row chasing. Abby Dorney coming out on top against Ballyhigh, 222-112, and St. Brendan's putting 5 goals past Crotta, 519-211. As ever, our hurling men on the line, James McCarthy and Rashad O'Farron. Rashad, I'll start with you. We had our own conversation on the Lewis yesterday. People must have been looking at us saying they're talking about hurling, and we're after watching Kerry beat Dublin, but that's what the hurling fraternity do. Abby Dorney, unfortunately for your sake, a big win over Ballyhigh in the end, a 13 point swing, kind of two one-sided games we saw over the weekend, Richard.
Yeah, Crotta will be disappointed. Of course, we've been mindful too that Crotta were down a lot of players this year, and we knew that at the very beginning, and that there was struggle, especially the loss of Shane was massive. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so look, Arfert got the goals. Now, in all fairness, like Barry and others as well, and Barry and even Beans, they battled hard all the way. But the goals were killers, and they came at awful times for them. Crotty will rebuild. Arfert are a very, very good side. They're fit. They're strong. I was very impressed with them in the first half, especially against Ballyduff. They were really, really good. Ran the ball really well. I know Ballyduff, of course, we know what they're like. They're tough. They never give up. So they fought back. But this is a young, fit, agile, well-drilled Arfert side. And certainly... They proved to be way too strong for Crotty. With regard to ourselves, I suppose, we always knew we were going to be up against it. I mean, from the beginning of the year, I felt that Abby Dorney would win the three in a row. I think that they're a step ahead of everybody else. They're a good side, and I think they'll have the edge on other teams. But at the end of the day, you know, we played them the last day, and you know, I think, you know, we were battling away, but the loss of Colin was massive. When you lose an inter-county player like Colin Walsh, I think you could see the heads go down. But that said, you know, we did fight back in the second half, which was probably the game was, you know, Abidoni were well in control at that stage. They're worthy champions, and we learned the last day, you know, how strong they were. But look, this is a young Ballyhale team. They'll learn from this, but Abidoni are...
Yeah, Richard, your line just dropped off at the end of a start. James, I was going to come to you next anyway. I suppose the St. Brendan's Crotty game first. I mean, I thought Crotty were going to be a lot closer to this, just looking at the matchups during the week. James, disappointed really from a Crotty point of view, but goals killed them in the three first half ones. Definitely sucker punches, and realistically speaking, a late goal for Crotty made the scoreline look some bit more respectable for them.
Indeed, they were from a streets ahead, Ivan. There's no disguising this. It was very poor for Crotty. I expected more of myself because, you know, we saw some good in them. When they played Abidoni early on, it was only 5 point loss. I thought, they'd give enough to Affair, but Affair's pace and their skill, they just took them apart. You said the goals, they nearly had as many goals, they had points on the board early on. Affair, like, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a massacre. It did turn out to be a big score. Barry Mahoney was fighting a lone battle, but John Conway was well marked by Eric Lean. Their main forward was well marked by Eric Lean. Evan Sullivan was out in midfield as well. Like, they just, Affert had aces all over the place. They had Shawnee B, they had Owen Flair, they had Hugh Lynn, and all these good young lads coming through. We finally see them coming to fruition, hopefully. And you know, it's a test of the no starting out Ivan in their semi final. It'd be a real test. And we said this was a test past the flying colours, but another big test starting night now for them.
Yeah, big test. And I suppose from an Abidoni point of view, they want to narrow up on their wides a small bit. A 13-point win, as you mentioned, to restart, James, but I think they hit 20 wides, you know, in their, you know, against Ballyhaig. That could come back to haunt them. They'll still be favourites, you know, to win the Nidus Flynn, but, you know, to have 20 wides in the game as well for them, they'll be scratching their heads as how this wasn't a bigger margin of a victory for them.
Yeah, and you know, but in fairness, another poor performance. I hate to knock teams like what I said about Clamiley. You've got to call it as it is, and it was poor by Ballyhaig. We thought a couple of years ago when they beat Crotty, the Dane County Champions at the time, they had got over this thing of maybe losing quarterfinals, but they got absolutely given a lesson now the last day by Abidoni. You said with 20 wides, it could have been Hockeying. As it was a bad beating, like, but Abidoni was just too strong, too powerful for them. They had too much ball play, but Ballyhaig with their own, the art of their own self-destruction. Like, in the first 10 minutes, they must have given away 1-3, 1-4, and given the ball, playing short ball. You were drawing Abidoni onto you, and that went against them badly. And the turnovers and mistakes, and that killed their spirits. And as Richard said, when Colin went off, the team just dropped. And I'm afraid there was no comeback then.
Yeah, you kind of feel 1-13-5 at halftime, and obviously you saw Jimmy send the off as well. It just, you know, a bad day at the office for Ballyhaig, who, to be fair, over the last couple of years have really shown what they're capable of in this championship and have reached semi-finals. I know it's a quarter-final next this time, but you know, they're showing that Ballyhaig, you know, that they have the hurling out there, James. It's just a case of kind of maybe bringing it all together for a couple of years in a row, but this one might be a little setback for them, but no doubt they'll be able to lick the wounds and come back in 12 months' time as well.
They will, and you've seen what they've done. But they brought in the young lads, Brandon Lean, Matthew Sullivan, Rory Holland. They started to introduce the young lads. And Ivan, if you see them going ahead next 2 years, you will see it. They have about 3 or 4 years of getting 4 and 5 hurlers every time. They have a huge batch of young lads coming. They have about 10 or 12 young lads that will come into that team. They'll be like our set now were a couple of years ago. They have a huge base of young lads coming. If they can keep a core of a good senior squad like the Mike Lean and Colin Miles steer on for another while, and Derek Carney, and kind of integrate these new young lads they have, I think they'll be really good in 7 or 8 years' time. I know 7 or 8 years seems a long time, but you can't just expect young lads to come in and do it straight away. It could take a bit longer, 4 or 5 years maybe even, we'll give it that, but they have enough talent there.
Yeah, it can take time for it to kind of come good, and as you said, St. Brendan's definitely there now at this stage. Lads, we have to go for a quick break. We'll be back. We might look ahead to the semi-finals and a bit about the Camogie course and the All-Ireland final. We have to go to a quick break here on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
At Topline, McCarthy's Ken Mayer, supporting local communities is at the heart of everything they do. And now, as well as their support of Kerry ladies football, they will also sponsor Radio Kerry's sports news updates at 8:30 a.m. and during the 1 o'clock and 5:30 news every weekday. Whether you're building, renovating, improving your home or tackling your next DIY project, you'll find expert advice, quality products and great value at Topline McCarthy's Kenmare. Supporting Kerry sport, supporting Kerry people.
Lieber are pleased to invite applications for their apprentice programme. Candidates can choose from one of three streams: electrical, mechanical automation and maintenance fitter, or metal fabrication. To apply, email your CV, a copy of your junior and leaving certificate results, along with a cover letter to apprenticerecruit.lcc@lieber.com. Closing date for applications is July 19th. That's apprenticerecruit.lcc@lieber.com. For more information, please contact Lieber Container Cranes.
This Thursday, in association with Corcoran's Furniture and Carpets, Radio Kerry will continue to keep you up to date with the July Racing Festival at Killarney Racecourse. We'll have live reports from a full card of National Hunt Racing with every race, SPs and the all-important results. Radio Kerry's coverage from the Killarney races this Thursday is brought to you in association with Corcoran's Furniture and Carpets. Discover unbeatable deals in Corcoran's Super Summer Promotion. Way ahead of the field for choice and value.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the midst of our hurling chat. Restard's line has been restored as well. A doubleheader next weekend. Restard, of course, we saw Causeway and Ballyduff booked their spots in the semi-final through the draw out of the cup. Obviously, St. Brendan's and Abbey Dorney had to face into quarter-finals. The first matchup is at 4:30 in Ostec Park on Saturday. St. Brendan's against Causeway. An interesting one because, as you said, Brendan's really, really impressive against Crota. Causeway will have watched that game last week, will have rested up. Such a condensed championship, that kind of week break, could be all the Causeway need. But this should be a great encounter to start.
Absolutely fantastic, and I suppose I can change now. I mean, my prediction at the beginning of the year is that it would be an Abbey Dorney Causeway final, and I think Abbey Dorney will edge it, so I have to stick to that. But this is a very good young, James mentioned there about Ballyhaig, young lads coming through, and I suppose we saw a great final this year, in the league final between Ballyduff and Ballyhaig. Great young players, and it was, as James said, it was like Arfart a number of years ago. So this Arfar team, they've come through now. They've some absolutely fantastic players. From Ono Flaherty right up to Hugh and all those. Fiona, of course, there as well. So they have an excellent side. But I think this year the Causeway, they have no injuries. They have a blend of experience and some really, really strong players there as well. So I think that that experience, I think, will just about see Causeway through. I think that this is a great opportunity for them this year, because in previous years they've had a lot of injuries. This year they don't have those injuries. They have a full squad.
Yeah, really, really interesting one at 4:30. The other one then, James, is at 6:30. Abbey Dorney, as you mentioned, the odds-on favourites for a potential 3 in a row in the Kingdom up against Ballyduff. No easy feat for Abbey Dorney against a team who topped their group. So this one as well could be a potential banana skin for Abbey Dorney, maybe.
It really could be, Ivo. I think this is the strongest Ballyduff in the last 3 years. And do you beat Ballyduff 3 years in a row? That's a tough one to do. And we've already done it in the last two county finals. They've beaten Ballyduff, and Ballyduff will know this. And so I'm really looking forward to that one. I see extra time with that one, Ivo. I really do. I really, really do. Because Ballyduff, they only played for a half against Arfert, and it was awesome. Their half was brilliant. But then you had the other half, and that was terrible. So, you wonder, what Ballyduff, can they show up for the full hour next day? And can Abbey Dorney get rid of half the wise, as we said, Ivan, earlier on? They'll be really important. It's going to be two real powerhouses at the minute, I think, are playing in this semi-final. Maybe it's a pity we didn't get the final out of it, but look, it's going to be a brilliant semi-final.
It's fair enough to say the best four teams are left in the championship, James, isn't it? We got the four best big hitters.
Yeah, Ivan, there's nobody can argue about that. Maybe Lixnaw was the only one I would say have any qualms about that, because Lixnaw are as good as what the four is left. But the other three lads, we're a good bit off. And I'm talking we, because I'm talking Keith Miley here now as well. We are a good bit off. And these four teams deserve to be there. And there's a contrast in styles in the first semi-final with Arfert and Causeway. Cause they're going to be shooting from long range and shooting from every angle, Ivan. They've got to come out of the traps flying. Our first half to play the long game and stay with them for as long as they can. So I think their fitness in the end, I might just go against Restarty, I think their fitness in the end might pay if they can keep to their game and not get sucked in, because they're great old war horses, great warriors, but they're going to be two super games and it's going to be a cauldron again, Ivo. The heat is going to be up there again. It's really going to be a nice weekend.
Yeah, great doubleheader. On the Camogie, James, big weekend as well coming up for the girls. It's the All-Ireland Intermediate semi-final on Saturday at 3 o'clock in Tullamore. Kerry against Laois. Kerry so impressive against Derry a couple of weeks ago now, so a good rest for John Madden's girls there as well. Wouldn't it be great to see them get back to Croke Park and have another tilt at the All-Ireland this year?
Yeah, it would be brilliant. I mean, you spoke to the lads there earlier about the ladies' football. Wouldn't it be great to have the ladies, the Camogie, the ladies' football and the senior football back in Croke Park for All-Ireland Finals? It would be super. But this is a tough one. They're giving Laois a bit of an easy trip here now to Tullamore. Laois are 45 minutes, carrier 3.5 hours up the road, a neutral venue. I don't see the very neutral about that at all.
Yeah.
They're the Croke Ireland in the year. It's going to be really, really tough because Laois have some good players. Laois have some talented players. We've seen them play in a couple of matches, but I think maybe, can the girls really go at it again this weekend and maybe just develop their whole expansive game? I think they need to expand it a bit, because if you go banging all through this match at the weekend with these temperatures, Ivan, they won't last. It's going to be really tough on them. They might have to use their bench a bit at the weekend, but I hope they get through, and I'd love to see them throw it back and right the wrongs of last year, as they say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Restart finally, Croke Park, the venue on Sunday. Tickets like gold dust. Galway against Limerick in the All-Ireland final. A novel enough pairing, considering majority would have expected it to be Cork against Limerick in the final. So really, really, you know, this one being highly anticipated. Now the fact that the football semi-finals are over, the papers will be full of hurling from tomorrow on. It's always exciting week, even as the neutrals, for the build-up to this one.
Absolutely, and you know, one side you have Gillan, you have Lynch, and then you have, you know, Conor Whelan and Colin Mannion, and then battle of midfield between Burke and Hart and William O'Donoghue, and of course you have Burns as well. And you know, you have Sean Finn, and you have young players then as well, like English and O'Neill. So you know what, it's going to be a fantastic battle. You know, and if Limerick can, if Galway can stay with Limerick until the final quarter, we're going to have a great finish. But you know, this very strong Limerick side, physically they're very, very strong. I know Galway were like men possessed against Cork. They were absolutely brilliant. But Limerick are Limerick, and you know, their experience and their physical strength, I think they'll edge it.
Yeah, it'd be narrow margins anyway. Lads, we're out of time. Thanks very much for that. Look forward to all the hurling and Camogie action the weekend, but appreciate your chat just this evening. Thanks a mil.
Thanks, Ivan.
Okay, no bother. That's James McCarthy and Restarta Fearon chatting all things small ball. Of course, the big weekend in the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship, and a big weekend to come as well with our Camogie girls out in the All-Ireland. Best luck to them. And of course, best luck to Kerry FC on Friday night taking on Shelburne in the FAI Cup. That one live on Radio Kerry from 7:45 on Friday evening. What about another miracle in Mount Hawk Park against the Premier Division side? We'd have to wait and see. Right, before we finish up, it's back to Clarny Races and of course Tim Moynan. Watch you on there on the opening day of the July Racing Festival. Delighted to see Kerry back in another All-Ireland final. Yes, we got a bit lucky, but good teams make their own luck. Some decisions went our way, but Dublin have had plenty of big decisions go their way over the years. It was just more than luck that prevented Dublin scoring a goal. Both Shane Murphy and his defenders put their bodies on the line with some last-ditch defending that deserved a bit of luck. And that's from Charles. We wish you all the best, Charles. Hope you're keeping okay. And square ball goal at a crucial time. Dublin goal over the line. You can thank the man in black. Also disappointed was David Clifford, fist pumping and waving his arms when scoring a point. Thinks he's Ronaldo or Harry Kane. He may be a great player, but the man has zero class. I couldn't disagree any more. Lads, thanks very much for joining us this evening. To Liam, John, and to Andrew as well, and to Colm Keyes for taking the call, and of course to Moynan at the races, and James from Restart on the hurling as well. We'll be back next Monday evening with a full 2 2-hour All-Ireland preview show, which we can't wait for. And then Monday week, win or lose, we'll be there to cover the homecoming for you as well. So really, really looking forward to the next couple of weeks. Enjoy the build-up. Get the green and gold flags up around the county. And as I said, we'll be back next week with that preview. Thanks to Niamh, who produced the programme this evening. As I said, Mary Conroy up next for a bit of music. I think we need a bit of music after all the sport talk today. I think it's on everybody's lips. And as I said, we'll see you all again next Monday evening. Good night.